This is Clinton Roberts of Arizona State University, HST 580, for the Journal of the Plague Year Archive. Today is July 25th, 2020, and I'm conducting an interview with Philip Hoyle. Philip will be talking about how COVID-19 pandemic changed his employment status and the activities he plans with his granddaughter. Philip, what do you do for a living?
I'm a background investigator for police applicants for the Oklahoma City Police Department.
Did the COVID-19 pandemic affect how you do your job or the status of your employment?
It absolutely did. When it first came out, and more isolation of businesses created a tax deficit for the income to the city of Oklahoma City, which they eventually made a decision to cancel a police academy. We traditionally have two academies a year, between 50 and 75 cadets in each academy. Due to the shortfall on collected taxes, they've canceled our next academy, and as a result, the eight people in my unit were furloughed because of the cancellation of that academy.
So would you consider this status change permanent or temporary?
I think that's going to depend on the economy with the city. Business is opening back up. The tax base, the income coming back in, should dictate at some point that we've come over the hump. We need to put together another police academy.
Okay, Philip, where do you live?
In Blanchard, Oklahoma.
What's it like living in Blanchard, Oklahoma?
It's a lot quieter than living in the city. You don't have as much concerns about crime. Maybe pollution. It's everything is slower. The people seem to be nicer. It's just a good place to come to as a refuge when you work in the city.
When did you first hear about COVID-19, and what were your first thoughts about it?
First heard about it in March, and in fact, it was presented to us at work at that time, due to my age, that I was one of the first ones offered the ability to work from home, to restrict my exposure with people coming and going at my workplace. Now, did I fear it? No. Was I concerned about it? And did I follow precautions? Yes, I did. And I did that at a courtesy to my coworkers, citizens on the street I came in contact with, and hopefully prevent bringing any kind of maybe contamination to myself, home to my family.
Since that first experience that you had at work, how have your thoughts changed since then?
I have a lot of questions as the truthfulness of all the information that's being broadcast. You hear multiple stories of, for example, when it first came out in New York City, the most common causes of death had disappeared, and now it's COVID-19 deaths. So your SIDS deaths for your babies, cancer deaths, coronary deaths, those almost fell off the scale, and the number of COVID-19 deaths increased to a number that made most people very skeptical of the honesty, not so much that the disease was there and it was killing people, but not at the rate that was being reported.
So how has your daily routine changed now since COVID-19?
Well, I was home, working from home for maybe 3 weeks, and then that's when they came in and furloughed eight of the people in my unit. Now, how it's changed is, rather than working from home, I'm constantly at home. So, obviously, it gives me more times to do things around the house and around the acreage. It also limits our ability to go into public more, and we use more precaution when we go into public. If we go shopping for food, anything we may need from a local hardware store, we use preventative, the mask, the disinfectant stuff. So it definitely has affected us.
So has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you interact and communicate with friends and family in any ways?
I wouldn't say as much with family. Again, you take the precautions when you're out in public, having in mind, the back of your mind, that you don't want to bring any of this back to family. As far as friends, we communicate now over Facebook, text messages, over the phone. So we try to avoid almost completely interacting face-to-face.
How has the COVID-19 outbreak affected Blanchard in general?
I think for the most part, it's the same reaction here as it was in the city. Everybody's leaning towards, you know, the precaution more so than extreme. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. But they're kind of giving you, if you want to do something, be smart, social distancing, use the sanitizers, do the face mask. So it's not as much as a hysteria that I've seen. You know, it just, you know, common courtesy. Let's do what's better for everybody till this thing blows over.
So do you think that people in Blanchard responded differently than bigger cities?
Having been isolated, I haven't had enough contact with individuals to be able to determine a basis on that, to come to any conclusions.
Does the news media depict COVID-19 the way you experienced the pandemic in Blanchard? And in what ways is it lacking or accurate?
The media right now, I think, is reporting things that they want to report. I think they're creating a narrative more so than reporting possibly the facts. You know, there's several different numbers come out, and nobody's ready to say these are definitive. Here's the number of people that have it. Here's the number of people that have died from it. And here's the number of people that have recovered. So it's hard to say that I think the media has done more harm than good.
So you and your family, you said that you've gone through some of the measures of social distancing, wearing masks. Was that because of a response to national and local requests, or did you do it more based on just your own safety?
I think more for safety of us individually and for our family. You know, you take the recommendations of the people you put a little faith in, and you know, a doctor tells you it's a good idea to you to do it. Why not do what they're recommending? And I don't do it because, for example, in certain areas, you're mandated to do it. Okay, I don't need a mandate. I just know that if a doctor of authority is saying it's a good idea to do it, that's all I need.
Have you or anybody you know gotten sick during COVID-19 outbreak? And what has been your experience in responding to illnesses?
I did have a coworker that was hospitalized with COVID-19. He was in ICU for some period of time. He completely recovered. I didn't have enough contact with him during the period that he would have been contagious, so I wasn't fearful of that. But that was just kind of close to home. The eight of us in that unit, one of the eight got it. So, again, that was to me was the deciding principle for, you know, working from home and then, you know, later the furlough.
And I think this leads right into the next question. Does living in Blanchard seem safer or more dangerous during COVID-19, and how so?
I think it seems safer. Because, again, there's not as many people. We're not exposed to as many people as we would be maybe in the city. We have the ability to buy, you know, small items of grocery here with minimal contact. So I think it's safer. We're not in areas of large concentrations of people.
How have your local and state governments responded to the outbreak? Do you think their response was enough, not enough, too much? How so?
That's a teeter-totter. It's on both ends of it. You see outcries of people saying, you're infringing on our civil liberties by demanding that we wear face masks in public. And then on the other hand, they say, we're going to give you the option. If you want to wear them, we recommend it. To me, if they don't have to dictate to me an order that it's a must. It's common sense to think, even if it's 10% chance that it would save you from bringing that home to your family, you know, it's worth wearing it. You know, it's a little inconvenience, but What's the inconvenience of bringing it home to your family and multiple members of your family getting it?
Based on your pre-interview, you had spoken about some of the things that you were, I guess you had noticed about changes in your plans and things like that. What are some of the things that you've altered? What kind of plans have you altered to spend time with your family that you were doing differently now than you would have done pre-COVID-19?
Well, this summer we had planned a family vacation in Louisiana. Obviously, when the heat of this battle, that wasn't something that we could do. It's not to where you could bring the 13 members of the family together in an area that at the time was being reported pretty much as a hot zone. It still is. So not only could you go to a different state, where we had a house rented, you couldn't enjoy any of the amenities of traveling, going to different events, and seeing things that you would normally be able to do. So that for that reason, we canceled that. And there's a lot of other things that we'd planned to do that we could not do because of it. But we felt, you know, it's safer to take the precautions, stay home, let this thing blow over than it is to go out and get a bunch of people sick.
Have you adapted those plans to allow for different activities that kind of allow you to have entertainment or to plan events that maybe are safer?
Yes. We, on two different occasions, we took our granddaughter to Arbuckle Wilderness, which is a drive-through zoo. And so you stayed in the car. The only contact you had with anybody other than who's in the car would be when you pay to go in. And from that point on, you drive around in this zoo, you're in your car, you're not exposed to people. Again, we found an event that occurred here in Oklahoma City. They call it Jurassic Quest. And it's a large area of a parking lot where they've set up dinosaur displays, with dinosaurs growling, moving, and again, we took our granddaughter to that. We stayed in the car. She enjoyed both venues, both activities, and we felt like we were 100% safe in doing those things.
When thinking about the future, do you think COVID-19 will have a lasting effect on Blanchard beyond this year, and why so?
I don't think so. I think that hopefully there's going to be a better response next time this shows up. I can't give you specifics on what that would be, but hopefully everybody involved in this, other than people that are using it as a political doorstep or a media doorstep, are going to be better prepared to handle a situation like this. And I think as far as Blanchard goes, I can't think of anything they could do to prepare themselves for something like this. And hopefully this is, not an annual event. This is, we look back in 50 years, I remember 2020. The foresight and the hindsight of 2020 is going to be something we'll all remember.
And so looking to the future, what would you want future generations to know about what it was like to live during this time if for some reason they never lived through anything like this?
It's probably not different from a lot of things we've lived through growing up. I remember as a small kid, the Cuban Missile Crisis. We didn't know from day to day whether we were going to be involved in a nuclear war. So that's stressful times. And I think those times are coming and going. Am I going to be able to tell great-grandkids, here's what it was like, and hopefully you don't have to go through it? I think it's not that big of a burden. I think, we're living through it. We're eating. Everybody seems to be healthy around us. It's something that's going to pass.
Alrighty, that does it for this line of questions. Thanks, Phil. I appreciate your time, and thank you for contributing to the archive.
You got it. Thanks.